Welcome to Mysterious Topics, a podcast focusing on intriguing topics deserving further scrutiny. Each episode, the hosts examine a topic, add their opinions, and hopefully pique your interest as well. Visit MysteriousTopics.com for contact information and more. Now, here are your hosts, Chuck and John.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, John, and hello to our listeners. Again, before we start, I'd like to remind you that if you're going to be doing any shopping at Amazon.com, please visit our website, MysteriousTopics.com, first, and click on the Amazon icon that you will find there, and then go and do your Amazon shopping, and that would help us out a little bit to defray some of our expenses, and we would appreciate that. On a recent podcast, we discussed an ancient lost land called Lemuria, which we noted was supposedly very large in area. And today, we will talk about another lost land that was much, much smaller. And that's called High Brazil.
And this is a story I had heard about many years earlier, but had completely forgotten until I was reminded of it when we referenced it in our recent Reynolds from Forest Incident podcast. What is intriguing about High Brazil is that it actually appears on some ancient maps. And we'll start with a story from historicmysteries.com titled High Brazil, the Other Atlantis. This was posted on December 31st, 2010 by Fiona. When discussing underwater lore and legends, Atlantis is an obvious subject of interest. However, the lost island of High Brazil is just as intriguing and has more first-person accounts. High Brazil is spelled H-Y-B-R-A-S-I-L, and it's also spelled in many other variations, including Brazil spelled B-R-A-Z-I-L. And that may be the reason that the South American country Brazil was so named. The central image on the Brazilian flag, a circle with a channel across the center, is the symbol for High Brazil on early maps. And we are looking at an image of a very early map with High Brazil just off the coast of southwestern Ireland, I'd say.
The name of High Brazil may come from the Middle Ages term Brazil, which seems to indicate a source of rare red dye. And that last Brazil I just mentioned was the Z-I-L rather than the S-I-L. The dye may have acquired its name from the legendary island or vice versa. Or the name High Brazil, also called the Fortunate Island, may originate with the old Irish word Breas, B-R-E-A-S, meaning noble or fortunate. In folklore, this island country takes its name from Brazil, B-R-E-A-S-A-L, the high king of the world in Celtic history.
On some 15th century maps, islands of the Azores appear as Isola de Brazil or Insula de Brazil. After 1865, High Brazil appears on few maps since its location could not be verified. Regardless of the name or location, the island's history is consistent. It is the home of a wealthy and highly advanced civilization. Those who visited the island returned with tales of gold-roofed towers and domes, healthy cattle, and opulent citizens. The lore of High Brazil is equally fascinating. For example, it is shrouded in fog, or perhaps beneath the ocean, and appears only briefly once every 7 years.
So the lore associated with High Brazil apparently was something that was really pretty nice. Highly advanced civilization, these gold roof towers and domes, a lot of cattle, so you had plenty of meat to eat, and opulent citizens. That's interesting. So it was a place that people would probably long to go to if they could.
Yeah, I would think so. It kind of reminds me of something else from the area. I remember, I think I talked about this in the past, but the play and the musical Brigadoon, which was from, I think it was supposed to have taken place in Scotland, actually. And that, too, was some sort of mythical place where it appeared once every so often. I think it was even greater than 7 years. It may have been hundreds of years.
So I'm trying to think of the story that goes along with this. If people were talking about High Brazil to their friends or to their children or grandchildren, they would say, yeah, there's this really neat place, this island, and it's got special conditions on there where everybody is really happy and wealthy with plenty of food. But it disappears, and it's shrouded in fog, so in other words, people can't find it very often. I wonder if it was just a legend that was passed on, and the idea of the fog and the disappearing would explain away, so to speak, that that's why we can't always find it when we go out there. And so maybe it really didn't exist, but it was definitely a good story about a place that one might want to go to.
Well, as we continue here, we will see that there are reports of people actually visiting it, and the fact that they can't find it again is interesting, because what's going on here? They could generally find things, especially that close. It wasn't like they were traveling far across the ocean and somehow missed their target. This would have been relatively close to Ireland.
Yes. Well, researchers and archaeologists have searched in the most likely locations west of Ireland, and there is evidence that islands existed there. Shallow water shells have been found at Porcupine Bank, which is somewhat northwest of the most likely location of High Brazil. Even further north, similar shells were discovered at Rockall. So, there is evidence of land mass changes in that part of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, the following is from IrishCentral.com. Did mythical vanishing island off the western coast of Ireland really exist? This is by Kerry O'Shea of April 22nd of 2016, fairly recently. How much of Ireland's tale of a mythical vanishing island is rooted in reality? Imagination merges with reality where the island of High Brazil is remembered in both travelers' records as well as in certain legends. Ireland could indeed have its own version of Atlantis. Information gathered by historian Fiona Broom, as well as Celtic mythological enthusiasts, show the intersection of myth and reality in regards to the island of High Brazil.
High Brazil is a phantom island which appears in many Irish myths. However, as the Atlantic began to be more thoroughly explored, the name of High Brazil may have been attached to a real place, providing some evidence that attached itself to the Irish myth. High Brazil was noted on maps as early as 1325, when Genoese cartographer Darlotto placed the island west of Ireland. On successive sailing charts, it appeared southwest of Galway Bay. Both St. Brynd and St. Brendan found the island on their respective voyages and returned home with nearly identical descriptions of High Brazil, which they dubbed the Promised Land. A Catalan map of about 1480 labels an island as Isla de Brazil, to the southwest of Ireland, where the mythical place was supposed to be. Expeditions left Bristol in 1480 and 1481 to search for it, and a letter written shortly after the return of John Cabot from his expedition in 1497 reports that land found by Cabot had been discovered in the past by the men from Bristol who found High Brazil.
Some historians claim that the navigator Pedro Alvarez Cabral thought he had reached this island in 1500, thus naming the country of Brazil. However, Cabral didn't choose the name Brazil. The country was at first named Isla de Veracruz, Island of the True Cross, later Terra de Santa Cruz, Land of the Holy Cross, and still later, Brazil. The generally accepted theory states that it was renamed for the Brazil wood, which has an extreme red color. So, Brazil derived from Brasa ember, a plant very valuable in Portuguese commerce and abundance in the Newfoundland. The most distinctive geographical feature of High Brazil is that it appears on maps as a perfect circle with a semicircular channel running through the center. The central image on the Brazilian flag, a circle with a channel across the center, was a symbol for High Brazil on early maps. The circular perimeter of the island was confirmed by both Saints Berend and Brendan, who separately walked the shore to determine where the island ended, but never found it. Most likely, they were walking in circles.
Well, yeah, couldn't they tell when they got back to their point of origin that they could see their footprints, maybe, or just recognize the landscape?
Yeah, that reminds me of something, John. Last autumn, I was walking around in a rather small Wisconsin state park, and I was the only person there. It was really kind of a cold day, and nobody else was around, at least nobody that I saw. And I was walking on the trail. I really didn't know where the trail went, but I just saw the trail, and it said like 2.5 miles or something. So I started walking on it, and I thought I was going, because there was some elevation involved, I thought I was going up and climbing up onto a sort of a hill. And then I'd go back down again, and pretty soon, after about an hour or so, I was back at my original starting point. I had gone all the way around basically a hill, and I didn't realize that's what I was doing. So it reminded me of this when we were talking about these guys walking around this island and never coming to the end, walking in circles.
But you recognize you got back where you started, at least, right?
I did. Yeah. I started recognizing some of the things I had seen earlier. I thought, wait a minute here.
Yeah, that's what I was just suggesting there. Why couldn't they figure that out themselves? Right. You know, maybe that part was smudged or something.
Maybe.
One of the most famous visits to High Brazil was in 1674 by Captain John Nisbet of Killybegs County, Donegal, Ireland. He and his crew were in familiar waters west of Ireland when a fog came up. As the fog lifted, the ship was dangerously close to rocks. While getting their bearings, the ship anchored in 3 fathoms of water, and 4 crew members rowed ashore to visit High Brazil. They spent a day on the island and returned with silver and gold given to them by an old man who lived there. The last supposed sighting was in 1872 by Roderick O'Flaherty in a chorographical description of West or H. Lar Connaught, 1684. He tells us of the reported old man by saying, "There is now living Moro Ole, who imagines he was himself personally on Old Brazil for 2 days and saw out of it the Isles of Arran, Golem Head, Iris Beghill, and other places of the West Continent he was acquainted with." The last documented sighting of High Brazil was in 1872 when author T.J. Westropp and several companions saw the island appear and then vanish. This was Mr. Westropp's 3rd view of High Brazil, but on this voyage, he had brought his mother and some friends to verify the island's existence. Whether or not the island exists, or ever existed, is still hard to tell, but the mythical and real accounts of the island are hard to deny. And I would like to hear further explanation from Mr. Westropp's voyage with his witnesses as far as what do they mean? They saw it and then it disappeared. Was it shrouded in fog and they just couldn't see it, or did it actually appear to just disappear?
Yeah, that's a good question. It would make sense if a fog bank just suddenly rolled in and it covered the island. That is not that unusual, so that would make a lot of sense. But if it truly disappeared, even though the sky and the air was clear, then that would be a different story.
Yeah, you just wonder. I mean, I know these kind of tales sound fantastic to most people. You just start to wonder when we talk about, in many of our science podcasts, about other dimensions. And you just wonder if this is one of those thin spots, vortexes between dimensions where things can bleed through and every once in a while something appears that is actually in another dimension. That would explain this.
Well, that's a thought, John. Maybe. The following is from ancientorigins.net. the 16th of August of 2015 by Brian Hill. High Brazil, the legendary phantom island of Ireland. High Brazil was an island which appeared on ancient maps as early as 1325 and into the 1800s. On most maps, it was located roughly 321 kilometers or 200 miles off the west coast of Ireland in the North Atlantic Ocean. One of the most distinctive geographical features of High Brazil on those maps is that it often appears as a circle with a channel or river running east to west across the diameter. Stories about the island have circulated throughout Europe for centuries, with tales that it was the promised land of saints or a paradise where an advanced civilization lived. In Irish myth, it was said to be clouded in mist, except for one day every 7 years when it became visible, but still could not be reached. Well, that's not very often. One day out of 7 years, that's kind of crazy. That's like one day out of maybe 2,400 days or something.
And what's special about that one day every 7 years?
Yeah.
I don't know. As I said before, it could be some day that, for whatever reason, some other dimension bleeds through for some reason and it appears. I don't know. That's the only sort of logical explanation I can think of right now, if this is in fact happening that way.
We're again looking at a map, and I'm impressed by some of these maps. They're quite attractive to look at, and they seem fairly accurate. The one we're looking at right now is from 1325, so it's really some pretty advanced maps.
Yeah, and they have different counties or townships listed in Ireland that are familiar, Limerick and Cork. But I also wanted to say they just said that the river or channel running through the middle of the island going east to west, it actually is more of, I would call it, maybe southwest to northeast.
At least on the map we're looking at right now.
Yes. Yeah. It's not directly east-west. In 1480, John Jay Jr. departed from Bristol, England on a journey to find the fabled island, only to come back empty-handed after spending 2 months at sea. In 1481, two more ships, the Trinity and the George, departed from Bristol on an expedition to find High Brazil, with no success either. Interestingly, in 1497, Spanish diplomat Pedro de Ayala reported to the Catholic monarchs of Spain that John Cabot, the first European to visit North America since the Vikings, had discovered in the past by the men from Bristol who found Brazil. This implied someone from one of the Bristol expeditions had actually managed to find it. And I think the interesting point here, Chuck, is that back then these people really felt that this place existed because they kept going out looking for it. And it started to become a mystery to them, I think, because people had found it, so they thought, well, it'd be easy to go back there, especially if every time you go ashore somebody's giving you a pile of gold and silver. I would think they'd be wanting to go back there a lot. And now they can't find it. So it is very intriguing that these people actually sent out expeditions. So it's not, it was there. Something was there.
And definitely. And I can see why they would send out expeditions. Just like you said, if there are riches out there that they receive every time they go out there and find it, which they don't find it very often, but I can see why the expeditions would continue.
Yeah, it is a very intriguing story. And of course, close to Ireland, with Ireland's stories of the leprechauns that may do the same thing, give you a pot of gold.
That's right.
Nearly two centuries later, Scottish sea captain John Nisbet claimed to have spotted High Brazil on his voyage from France to Ireland in 1674. He is said to have sent a party of four ashore, where the sailors spent the entire day on the island.
There they claimed to have met a wise old man who provided them with gold and silver. Strangely, the captain said the island was inhabited by large black rabbits and a mysterious magician who lived in a large stone castle by himself.
Wait a minute. Large black rabbits and a magician. Is he pulling them out of his hat?
Ah, yeah. Maybe that's where that rabbit in the hat came from.
Yeah, that could be.
Oh, they're usually white rabbits, at least the ones I've seen with the magicians, but maybe not always. A follow-up expedition was led by Captain Alexander Johnson, who also claimed to have found High Brazil, confirming Nisbet's findings. In the following years, High Brazil would retreat into anonymity, and as attempts to find it failed again, mapmakers started leaving it off most nautical charts. When it was last observed on a map in 1865, it was simply noted as Brazil Rock. The last documented sighting of High Brazil was made in 1872 by Robert O'Flaherty and T.J. Westrop. Westrop claimed to have visited the island on three previous occasions and was so captivated by it that he brought his family with him to see it in person. There, they all witnessed it appear out of nowhere, only to see it vanish again before their very eyes.
Okay, so the last sighting was in 1872. This is the second year I'm doing some math. So that's 144 years ago. And it's supposed to appear every 7 years. I'm trying to figure out when it's going to appear next, Chuck. That's
why. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time with the math here. Okay, so 147 years plus.
So if it's 144 years ago, so that means it's in three more years.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
2019 is going to appear again. So if anybody's sailing out there west of a couple hundred miles west of Ireland, start looking for High Brazil and let us know.
Now we know what year to look, and of course we don't know which day. That's 365 days you have to start looking for it.
Yeah. Maybe we can get some cameras put up somewhere, or just the satellites. You could use the, Google Earth and just have it fixed there. Yeah. That might be a good project to do.
Be interesting if a Google Earth camera was up there 4 years ago. You might have spotted it. Of course, they only take the image ever so often, so it'd have to be on exactly the right day, and it'd be hard. But if you had a camera that monitors the area every day, then maybe we'd find it.
Yes, it should be taking pictures or video so that you can go back and check it to see. Either that or have somebody just stuck in a capsule somewhere just constantly monitoring it, sort of like the guy in Lost. Remember that, Chuck? Well, the guy, was it Desmond, I think, was stuck down in that thing for I don't even know how long. He was down there by himself.
Yeah, well, that might work.
Said, resetting the computer all the time, the numbers. There are many myths and legends surrounding High Brazil. In some of them, the island is the home of the gods of Irish lore. In others, it is inhabited by priests or monks, rumored to hold ancient knowledge, which allowed them to create an advanced civilization. Some think that St. Brendan's famous voyage to find the Promised Land may have been High Brazil. In one famous UFO encounter known as the Rendlesham Forest Incident, a strange craft is reported to have landed outside a U.S. military base in the U.K. Sergeant Jim Pennison claims to have touched this craft and telepathically received 16 pages of binary code into his mind. He wrote down the code the next day and had it translated decades later. The code was said to list very specific coordinates of High Brazil and listed the location where ancient cartographers had it mapped. The message also listed the coordinates of several other ancient sites around the world, such as the pyramids at Giza and the Nazca Lines. At the very bottom of the message, coordinates of High Brazil were listed again, along with an origin year of 8100. So, Chuck, what do you think that means? Because they are right. We did this podcast, Rendlesham Forest, and there is, anybody can go to this link at binarydecoder.info and see exactly what we just said. They did list High Brazil at the beginning and at the bottom, and then it says origin year 8100. So is this island somehow time traveling? Is the island actually from the year 8100?
I don't know, but the coordinates that they give us here, are those the coordinates that will be available in 8100, or they should be the same today as they would be?
Yeah, the coordinates should be the exact same on Earth. 8100, that's a couple thousand years in the future, but that's 6,000 years in the future, which is a long time to us, but to the Earth, that's hardly anything at all. So you wouldn't have massive Earth changes in that amount of time.
So using those coordinates, we should be able to locate Hybrazil, I would think.
And that spot is that there's just ocean there now.
Don't you think they could examine underneath the ocean, underneath the surface, and with instruments especially available today, or even submarines or searches, underwater searches of sorts?
Yeah, well, they did say that a little further north there are low-lying shells just under the water that may have been islands before. In this particular spot, I'm not sure. But if it's something really odd going on, as I have suggested here, either time travel or another dimension or something, which of course time is another dimension, then I don't think that would necessarily show anything by examining the physical land under the ocean there.
Yeah, and apparently it's not very close to the surface if those coordinates are accurate, because they aren't finding anything really close to the surface right in that area. But yeah, I think maybe your thing about your statement about some other dimension, that's probably the key. That would probably explain what was going on.
That seems like the only explanation right now, but that is so odd for us to think about too. It's not like we have absolute proof that this sort of thing can happen necessarily.
No, we certainly don't. And again, it may be this whole story is just a story, lore. It's just something that's passed down over the years.
Yes, although, as we said before, science is really almost to the point where they're confirming that other dimensions exist. So it's not some real crazy thing we're talking about here. It's just something that we don't understand quite yet.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Atlantis may be the most famous lost civilization. Hybrazil is better documented and has more eyewitness accounts behind it. The legend could be a story that was passed down through generations from the end of the last ice age when sea levels were lower. For example, the so-called Porcupine Bank, discovered in 1862, appears to have been an island at some point in time. Located about 193 kilometers or 120 miles west of Ireland, it is a shoal exposed at extreme low tide, and where an 1830 chart had Brazil Rock located. The bank's highest point is around 200 meters or 656 feet below sea level, and was sunk either due to a catastrophe or rising sea levels.
Well, that is very close to the location on ancient maps to Hybrazil, 120 miles, and the other one was 200 miles. So we're only talking a distance of 80 miles, and that, you know, that could just be due to some sort of miscalculation a little bit by some of the people. So now we were contemplating if they could check under the land there, and here this is that spot. So there is something that at one time was an island within 80 miles of the location.
Okay. Today, no such island called Hybrazil exists on any maps or nautical charts, and no historical documents were ever recorded to indicate what happened to it. Mainstream historians simply consider it a case of mistaken identity. Nevertheless, it is a peculiar riddle in history that is likely to be debated and discussed into the future, like we're doing today.
Yeah, and I just think it's really of note that so many people, I would say back then, knew it existed. People had visited it. They were sending out expeditions to go there. Like I said, most likely because the people that did go there got rewarded with gold and silver from the inhabitants. So naturally, a lot of expeditions are going to set out for that spot. And it's just really intriguing that so many people could not find it, and a few did.
And just the fact that they had plentiful cattle there, meat was probably not all that plentiful back in those days in Ireland. And we often talk about the potato famine, where so much of the Irish diet was based on just potatoes. And then when they had a blight with the potatoes, a lot of people went hungry. So that cattle, the meat from the cattle would have been very valuable.
Yeah, and I just wonder, too, with this mythical feel of this island, and it would only appear every 7 years, and people that happened upon it went ashore, and they obviously were very friendly people that were visiting as well as the inhabitants, and they rewarded them with gold and silver, that people that were coming out there after hearing the stories just to get it, perhaps the inhabitants of this island knew who were sincere, good people and who weren't, and maybe they just put up their veil when there were people just coming to get rich. In other words, they were able to only avail themselves to good, honest people.
So they only gave the gold and silver to the people that truly needed it and were good at heart and had good intentions, not people that were just money-hungry scavengers looking for a free handout.
Yeah, well, I'm just making up this part of the story, but I'd like to think that were true.
I know you've been centering on that gold and silver quite a bit, so that's pretty tempting for you. So,
well,
I'm not sure.
But here's the thing. Like, if you think that way and you're going there just so that you might get that, then you will never get there because they know the intentions of the people coming there.
So if you go there and you just happen upon the island and just out of curiosity, without looking for treasure of any sort, then you might get a treasure. This sounds like some stories we've heard over the years and kind of allegories many times.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's why it could just be a mythical story of sort of a, like you said, an allegory of how to be an honest, sincere person as opposed to a greedy person.
Right.
Or it could be some real advanced stuff here with dimensions and time travel and all that. Who knows?
Well, it definitely is a mystery that we're probably not going to solve anytime soon.
Yeah, no, we're not. Not until 2019. Maybe, Chuck, you and I can set up a 24-hour satellite watch of that area in 3 years.
Okay, we'll plan on that.
Okay, do you have anything else on this?
No, I think that's about it, John. So I want to thank our listeners. Please visit us at MysteriousTopics.com. And this is Chuck. Goodbye.
And John, thank you for listening. Goodbye.